Although Bede's writings are many and various, it's his great history that holds our attention. Writing from his monastery on the River Tyne, this is how he began.
Britain is an island in the ocean and was once called Albion. It lies towards the northwest and faces Germany, Gaul, and Spain, the largest areas of Europe, though at a considerable distance from them. From south to north, it is 800 miles long, and its breadth is 200 miles, except for several promontories which extend further. If these are included, the complete coastline measures 4,875 miles. To the south lies Belgic Gore, and the nearest harbour for travellers making the crossing is the city named Rutubiportus, now known to the English in the corrupt form Rochester. From here, the distance across the sea to the nearest point on the coast of Gaul is 50 miles. On the far side of Britain, where it lies open to the boundless ocean, are the Orkney Islands. The island is rich in crops and trees, and has good grazing for cattle and draft animals. It also produces vines in some areas. Land and seabirds, too, of various species flourish there, and it is famous for its rivers, with their abundance of fish, the salmon and the eel in particular, and for its plentiful springs. Seals, dolphins, and even whales are often caught, but most frequently of all, various kinds of shellfish, including mussels, in which excellent pearls of every colour, red, purple, violet, blue, green, and most common white, are often found enclosed. There is a great abundance of whelks from which a scarlet dye is derived, whose glorious red colour can never be faded by the heat of the sun or damaged by the rain. Indeed, the older it is, the lovelier it is. Because Britain lies almost beneath the North Pole, its nights are light in the summer, so that often people watching at midnight are uncertain whether the evening twilight still lingers or morning dawn has already arrived. The reason is that during the night the sun returns to the east through the regions of the north and travels only a short distance below the horizon. And this also explains why the days are extremely long in the summer. On the other hand, the nights are extremely long in winter, 18 hours in fact, no doubt because the sun at that time withdraws to African regions. At the present time, corresponding to the number of the books containing the divine law, Britain uses the languages of five peoples to study and profess the one undivided knowledge of the supreme truth and true sublimity. These five are the languages of the English, the Britons, the Irish, the Picts, and the Latin language, the last of which, through the reading of the scriptures, is in general use amongst them all.
Our second excerpt from Bede concerns a very unusual lady, St. Etheldreda, or Audrey, of Ely, virgin saint of the Fen country. Daughter of a king and wife of another, she refused to consummate either of her two marriages, and escaped to Ely, or Eel Island, which was her own property. There, in this remote spot, she established her monastery in the year of Bede's birth.
They say of her that from the time when she entered the monastery, she would never wear linen, but only woolen clothes. She would seldom take a hot bath, except on the eve of the greater festivals such as Easter, Pentecost, and Epiphany. And then, last of all, after Christ's other handmaidens who were present had washed first, assisted by her and her attendants. By her own command, she was buried in a wooden coffin. 16 years after Ethelred's burial, the new abbess decided that her bones should be raised and placed in a new coffin and transferred to the church. She ordered some of the brothers to search for stone from which to make a coffin for this purpose. And they set off in a boat, as the district of Ely is completely surrounded by water and marshes and has no large stones. They came to a small deserted city not far away, called in English Grantchester, and near its walls they soon found a coffin beautifully made out of white marble, together with a close-fitting lid of the same stone. Realizing from this that the Lord had prospered their journey, they gave thanks to him and took the coffin back to the monastery.
Bede closes his great history with a brief autobiographical note, a list of his writings, and a simple prayer.
With the Lord's help, I, Bede, a servant of Christ, and priest of the monastery of the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, at Wearmouth and in Jarrow, have composed this ecclesiastical history of Britain, and of the English people in particular, using whatever information I could acquire from ancient documents, from the tradition of my elders, and from my own knowledge. I was born on the lands of this monastery, and at the age of 7 was entrusted by the care of my family to the Reverend Abbot Benedict, and then to Caelfrith to be educated. Since then I have lived my whole life in this monastery, devoting myself entirely to the study of the scriptures, and amid the observance of the discipline of the rule and the daily task of singing in the church, it has always been my delight to learn, to teach, or to write. And I pray thee, good Jesus, that as thou hast graciously granted me to drink with delight the words that give knowledge of thee, so wilt thou grant of thy loving kindness, that I may come at length to thee, the fount of all wisdom, and stand for ever before thy face.
Our last choice is taken from Bede's Life of Cuthbert, the hermit bishop, great saint of the North Country. As always, Bede drew on first-hand contemporary sources, consulting the brothers on Lindisfarne, who'd asked him to write the biography of their great saint. And he dedicated the work to the scribe of the Lindisfarne Gospels. Cuthbert was a shepherd boy, who, at the age of 15, Bede tells us, while watching his sheep on the Lammermuir Hills, had a vision.
One night, while his companions slept, he stayed awake as usual and was praying, when he suddenly saw a stream of light from the sky pierce the darkness of the long night, and in it choirs of the heavenly host came down to earth. And without delay they took with them a soul of great brightness and returned to their home above. The youth, beloved of God, was deeply moved by this vision and inspired to submit himself to the grace of spiritual discipline. When morning came, he learned that Aidan, bishop of the Church of Lindisfarne, and a man of outstanding virtue, had entered the kingdom of heaven at the very time when he had seen him taken from the body. And he at once delivered the flocks he was tending to their owners and decided to enter a monastery.
Our final choice is Bede's version of one of the most famous Cuthbert wildlife stories. He's drawn on the eyewitness account of a monk of Coldingham on the Berwickshire coast, who watched Cuthbert immerse himself in the cold North Sea through a night of prayer and emerged to be dried by 2 otters.
In his customary fashion, he went out alone at night to pray while the others were at rest, and after keeping a long vigil through the dead of night, he would at last return home at the very hour when they said the office together. One night, one of the brothers of the monastery saw him going silently out, and secretly followed in his footsteps, seeking to discover where he was going and what his purpose was. Leaving the monastery with the spy following, Cuthbert went down to the seashore beneath the monastery, and going deep into the water until the swelling waves rose up to his neck and arms, he spent the dark hours of the night watching and singing praises, accompanied by the sound of the waves. When dawn approached, he went on to the land and again began to pray, kneeling on the shore. As he did so, there at once came out from the depths of the sea 2 4-footed creatures which are commonly called otters. Stretching themselves out in front of him on the sand, they began to warm his feet with their breath and sought to dry him on their fur. Having performed their services, they received his blessing and slid back beneath the waves in which they lived. Cuthbert also soon returned home and sang the hymns of the office with the brothers at the proper hour. However, the brother who watched him from the cliffs became panic-stricken and could barely stagger home, such was the distress that gripped him. Early in the morning, he went to Cuthbert and prostrated himself on the ground, begging him in tears to forgive his wicked and foolish presumption, as he was quite sure that Cuthbert knew what he had done that night and why he was distressed. Cuthbert said to him, "What is wrong with you, brother? What have you done? Have you tried to follow and spy on my nightly journey? I will grant you pardon for what you have done only on this condition, that you promise to tell no one what you have seen until after my death." While Cuthbert was alive, the brother kept silent about the miracle he had seen, but after his death he made a point of telling it to many people.
Today, otters are not commonly found on the North Sea coast, but they were probably much more numerous in Cuthbert's time. Gavin Maxwell suggests in Ring of Bright Water that otters do indeed behave on occasions in the way Bede describes. Although coming out of the sea with half a gallon of salt water in their fur, they may not have been the most effective of beach towels.
There is no brilliance in Bede, but much steady clarity. No overtones and undertones, no subtle intuition, no twilight mystery, no lightning flash of genius. He lives and writes in noonday sunshine. If we search for a simile to fit him, we do not think of steel or diamond, of the opal or of quicksilver. Rather, perhaps, we think of the mellow purity of gold.